The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Friday, February 19th, and Carson Wentz is an Indianapolis Colt. But that's not what today's podcast is about. We are actually, we have an emergency Carson Wentz podcast in the feed. Of course, you can check it out. This is a mailbag episode. You can drop, if you have any mailbag questions, it could be about parenting, it could be about beer, it could be about life in general, Carson Wentz, or a specific to a team, player, coach, organization, draft, whatever it is. Leave a 5-star review, leave your question on Apple Podcasts, and we will get it in a future mailbag. It takes a couple days to populate, so we will add it later. But go ahead and drop those in. Any reviews are appreciated, even if you don't have a question. Joining me to answer those mailbag questions, Ryan Wilson and John Breach. What's up, fellas?
I'm very excited to do a post Carson Wentz podcast because, we all need more Carson Wentz in our life.
I thought we were doing a second Carson Wentz emergency podcast. I was led to believe incorrectly about that, but I'm going to stick around for the mailbag because I'm always excited for mailbags.
This is a good one. Ryan just dropped in a 5-star review from Jim in South Carolina. Could use more nudity.
Still. I mean, obviously he wasn't watching last summer when I was just stripping left and right. We didn't have YouTube yet. It's probably for the best.
Still much better than cats. Cats. I never saw cats.
I love that Breach actually saw the comment and still interrupted you as you tried to read through the comment to take off his clothes.
And he was like stripping as he was doing it too.
And me and Wilson match again, by the way. My wife saw the video and it said it looks like we're wearing uniforms.
It does.
The best part is that Brinson, number one, doesn't have his yet. Number two, on the podcast earlier this week with Jonathan Jones, I saw Jonathan rocking his too.
I thought it was a troll job. Was it a troll job? Was it on purpose?
I didn't know it until I saw it on the YouTubes.
Okay. YouTube.com/picksix. If you subscribe to us on the podcast, make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube to see these guys wearing stuff that Brinson doesn't have in his possession yet.
Ryan, would you give up your Super Bowl LV hoodie to get out of the tattoo bet?
Oh, no, I'm going to own the tattoo bet. I'm not going to be that guy.
You're going to get the tattoo.
Speaking of tattoo bets, Brinson is going to get a tattoo of a domino on his face if Deshaun Watson gets traded to the Eagles. So everyone write that down. Let that be part of the record. The Brinson tattoo bet is real.
And the tattoo bet that I'm currently in the midst of, number one, Breach has to draw it, and number two, Brinson's paying for it. And now I have an $80,000 Ryan Finley tattoo budget, so I'm actually kind of excited.
And I've actually drawn diamond studs that will be on Ryan Finley's face that are going to be sewn into Wilson's skin. It will be painful, but you'll be using every part of that budget, I promise.
It will be worth it.
So your assertion then, because people ask me about this, they're like, what's the deal? Like, Wilson's not going to get it right. I'm like, I mean, he better or else it's going to be awkward. So your assertion then is that the onus is currently on Breach. To produce.
Breach has to come up with some sketches that I have to approve. And, I don't care where he gets it. He doesn't have to even get input from whoever he wants to. He can get an artist to draw a tattoo if he wants and submit that. And then you have to pay for it and I got to do it.
somebody out there that listens to this podcast, maybe it's Sketchadoodle or somebody. We need a mock-up of a Ryan Finley tattoo for Wilson. Maybe it's just a penny with Ryan Finley's face or something. Somebody get that to us.
Yeah. I would de-emphasize the Ryan Finley part of it and emphasize the tattoo part of it. Like, I don't want a lot of Ryan Finley on my person.
And, what if like a giant, like Ryan Finley, like hands clapped, like in prayer, yeah. Like.
Well, yeah. I think the leader in the clubhouse, as far as design wise, we don't have the actual design yet, was Ryan Finley's face on a dime because he was throwing dimes against the Steelers. That way, Wilson can make this crazy excuse because you can't really tell it's Finley because dimes are so small. And you can get like a quarter with your sons and a 50 cent piece, with your wife's face. You get the whole family and Finley can be the dime and you can say it's him.
That's actually, I think you're going in the right direction, Breach. None of us on this podcast, even included, have a tattoo. So I think the smaller the Ryan Finley part of it, the better. And I can just work around it into some sort of intricate pattern that you have to really be looking for Ryan Finley to find him.
Yeah. And we will obviously have some sort of live stream situation, involving Ryan's tattoo process. But
hey, once we all get vaccinated, we can all do it together. We'll make a road trip out of it.
That's right. But if you're itching for fantastic live streaming content or OTT content or on-demand content in the meantime, may I suggest Paramount Plus? You've probably seen the Journey to Mount Paramount spots featuring Bill Cower, James Corden, Patrick Stewart, Beavis and Butthead. Yeah, quite a squad. But Paramount Plus is live sports, breaking news, and a mountain of entertainment. You can go straight from game day to movie night with Paramount Plus. Stream iconic movies like The Godfather, Indiana Jones, and Mission Impossible. Plus new episodes of critically acclaimed original series like Star Trek Picard, The Good Fight, and The Stand. Get this. It's where you can dive into live sports from us at CBS Sports, including the NFL, March Madness, the Masters, and Champions League Soccer. Plus, stream hit shows from CBS, Nickelodeon, MTV, BET, Smithsonian Channel, Comedy Central, VH1, and more! Live sports, breaking news, and a mountain of entertainment. Paramount Plus streaming March 4th. Go get it. I'm pumped for it. I love Paramount Plus.
I watch mine every night.
I do, too. I watch a lot of it. And you guys know I'm a big golf fan. It's Nat season, baby.
Heard something about that, yeah.
Yeah. So I always fire up downstairs in our main TV. Like, I can't get my HD antenna to work for whatever reason. I don't know why. So I fire up the Paramount Plus and watch the local CBS channel. You can watch NFL, the local March Madness. Oh, yeah. Get it.
All
right. Let's get to the mailbag. Again, 5-star review, future mailbags. We'll get it in there. You leave them, we will answer them. Thank you to everybody who leaves them. You're greatly appreciated. Informative and hilarious NFL podcast. Thank you. This is from Harris, UK via Apple Podcasts. He's over in Great Britain. Recent NFL convert from the UK. When I first started getting into the NFL, this pod really helped me to understand the wider game through their daily discussions on news and the draft, as well as the analysis takes. The real joy of this podcast, though, isn't about that. If all you're interested in is nitty-gritty detail, this probably isn't the podcast, this is one for you. What makes this my favorite NFL podcast is the group dynamic and the fact it is at times side-splittingly funny. Ooh, add that to the back cover of the book. I usually listen to it during lunch due to the time difference, and I've often gotten looks when I just burst out laughing. The hosts are great at making fun of each other, and the audio drop additions are brilliant. Overall, a great balance between detail and humor. This is also coming from a Raiders fan, and they hate the Raiders, so it demonstrates how much I like the rest of the podcast. Mailbag question, if I may. You always can. Do you all remember Debo's take from the 2020 offseason? Oh, yeah. I don't remember which episode, sorry, where he said he would take Wentz over Watson. Oh, he missed. Oh, those. Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work. That was actually the wrong drop, but you get the point. That's the right one. I can't hear him.
That was right.
Yeah. Why are you
wow. Debo. I forgot about that. That was like a month ago.
No. When did you say that?
It was like a month ago.
No, I said it preseason. But we talked about Watson on a live stream a month ago and I stand by it. No, I'm just kidding. As detailed on the Wentz Emergency podcast, I have been wrong a lot about my favorite team this offseason and this season. I thought Doug Peterson would return as the coach after week 17. I thought Carson Wentz would be the week 1 starter after Nick Sirianni was hired. Both those things now untrue. The Wentz Watson thing now untrue. I will comment on Deshaun Watson. I am not as high as a lot of other people. He went 2-12 against teams not named the Jaguars this year. I get it. Not a good situation. Not a good situation.
It's a fair point.
I'm taking Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert over Deshaun Watson for the next 5 years, and Dak Prescott.
Sweet mercy.
Debo, wait, sorry. Say that again.
Debo's lost his mind.
That's my list. Next 5 years.
Repeat those names again.
Next 5 years.
Because Brinson was talking.
Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, and Dak Prescott, which says a lot for me.
Over Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
There are seven names I counted on that list that need to be behind Deshaun Watson.
I mean...
All right, Brenton, let me ask you this.
So the time frame is 5 years?
Do you love Russ Wilson more than Deshaun Watson for the next 5 years?
I mean, I would just take Deshaun Watson for 5 years over Russell Wilson. I think that Russell Wilson would be playing at a high level in 5 years, but I wouldn't chance the age situation. I wouldn't take a chance on. I would
25 to 31, maybe, I think.
31, 32. Something like
that. I mean, yeah. I think you could, I would definitely take Watson over Kyler Murray. Like, that's not even close.
What about Lamar?
I would take Watson over Lamar.
I would too.
I think this kind of comes back to you're drafting a team. You're starting a franchise. Everyone's a free agent. You know, the team, whoever has the first pick is obviously taking Patrick Mahomes. So who's going second? And I mean, for me, it's like you have to be deferential to Lamar. I think he's in the mix, but I wouldn't take him second. I think Josh Allen is right there. I think Joe Burrow is right there, but I'm taking Watson second.
Wow. And we'll do a full episode on this during the offseason. Don't you worry. For now, I was wrong. I will say that. I was wrong.
Can I also just add in real quick that I love the fact that this guy wrote us a 500-word review from Great Britain just so he could dunk on Debo for a take from August. Oh-ho! That is amazing.
Up high, down hard.
But the question was just, do you remember this awful take?
let's give Debo credit. You didn't have to put this at the top of the mailbag. Yeah, you organized the rundown. You could have buried this one.
It's timely. It's timely.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know that you really believed it, Debo, when you said it at the time.
Oh, I will say, trust me, I believed it. I don't say things I don't believe.
I just think that you were probably fooling yourself a little bit into, wait, was this before this season?
This was before the season.
Okay, it wasn't like a month ago.
I'm going to say this. You guys will argue it. I don't think if you compare their first four seasons, so Wentz is a year ahead of Watson, their first four seasons are not all that different.
Don't, Debo, please. Don't do
this. Was Watson the MVP through 13 weeks?
Debo jumped in front of the bus, and then he got back up, stood on the curb, and just jumped in front of the bus.
Shot the bus, the double bird, and the bus like backed up.
I'll be the guy who defends Debo right now.
Go ahead, Gardner Minshew.
More wins in 2021, Deshaun Watson or Carson Wentz?
Well, let's find out where Deshaun Watson is going to be first.
Hey, I don't. That doesn't matter, Wilson. Why don't you just answer the question instead of coming up with excuses?
Andy Dalton, 9-7. How about that?
Well, you made that prediction in October, and that one blew up in your face.
I was going to say, that Andy Dalton prediction is way worse than Debo thinking Carson Wentz is going to be.
First so 4 years, Carson Wentz, 32-24. Deshaun Watson, 28-25.
But again, we talked about this on the Emergency Podcast. The stability of the organizations in question, one was incredibly stable. The other one was a circus.
Yes, but
Andy Dalton, first 4 years, 40 wins. Boom.
Andy Dalton duck.
Yeah, I mean, look, Carson... I mean, I think there are some similarities in the sense that Deshaun Watson has probably has at times gotten overhyped, and gets excuses made for him, maybe more so than other people. I've never seen anything like what's happening with Deshaun Watson in my life, though, in the sense that everybody is on the player's side. There isn't
except for Pete. That's right.
Except for Pete Prisco. That's right. Yeah. And, there's just, you don't ever see this. Like, it's unheard of in like the modern NFL for, you know, this many people to be all aboard the player's side in a dispute of.
It might have been like 60-40. Debo could probably better tell us the Eagles management over Carson Wentz over the last 3 months in terms of his undoing.
I have to run really quickly. I'll be right back.
We'll keep going.
You guys keep going. My wife locked the keys in the house and she's out in the car. One sec.
Maybe we'll keep it going.
The keys in the house and she's in the car. How does that work?
She walked outside without the keys and locked the door when she left.
Oh, okay. So she's not.
So she's locked out of the house.
But the car's, I mean, like,
go.
She's
go.
Like, I gotta go. I'll be go. Right
For instance, explaining the situation, and while he's doing that, his wife is like freezing to death outside.
You can add that to the list of random excuses you've never heard before. When
I believe that one. He had a frantic look and stopped mid-sentence, which he never does. He'll be the one to interrupt you, but he never stops himself mid-sentence.
And then he decided to tell us all about it while his wife is breached noted, is out there banging on the door trying to get in the house.
And I'm surprised with that $80,000, he hasn't bought a voice-activated lock.
Or a butler.
Or a butler.
Mr. Belvedere.
Brinson's not into buttling.
Oh, boy.
That's what buttering is. Yeah,
all right. Let's go to another question before Brinson even gets back. We can have all the time to talk about Deshaun Watson. I will say, in my mind, I like him. I'm on his side with all the trade stuff, but I think slightly overhyped is the right way to put it. Fair enough? Maybe? No, you guys don't agree.
Yeah.
Don't let Brinson hear that. You'll just start a new discussion.
Record prediction for the Chargers, considering all the coaching changes. This is from Anthony G.
Have you guys already given yours? No, I will say, not. I want to say 11-5.
You know what? Here's the thing. Like I said last week or the week before that they're my sneaky Super Bowl favorite. Like I don't remember what the odds were, but. The question, of course, is Brandon Staley. How's he going to be as a coach? We know he's a good defense coordinator, 1 year with the Rams, yada, 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 but he's incredibly young. But we don't know if that necessarily translates. So I'm going to assume it does. And I think that's right. I think they finished second in the division. They have a lot of things going for them. They went 7-9 with Anthony Lynn blowing so many calls, games at the end because he just mismanaged them that they could very easily have been 9-7. And I feel like they can get two more wins out of that. There'll be one more year with Justin Herbert. They can draft an offensive lineman or get one in free agency. They can find a tight end. And Derwin James is coming back. So I'm going to say I like the 10 or 11 wins as well.
I guess I am going to be I thought I was high on the Chargers. I didn't know that I was going to be the guy who was down on the Chargers based on my prediction. I'm going to go 9-7. I'm not as high as Brinson. Wilson, sounds like you like 10 wins. I'll go 9-7. And 3-3 in division, you do that. You find six other wins on your schedule.
I think 9-7 is if Anthony Lynn just does the bare minimum coaching wise and not compound end of game decisions. So I think that Brandon Staley will do that and then maybe can squeeze out one more win.
Did I see that the Broncos want to trade for Deshaun Watson or was that for Carson Wentz?
I think Deshaun Watson was the report. I don't know who said it or when.
I thought it was Wentz.
No, it was, they didn't want Carson Wentz. They said, because they were in the Matthew Stafford sweepstakes. And so they're absolutely looking to upgrade at quarterback. I think, James Palmer from NFL Network was one of the people who mentioned this, that if Wentz is available, the Broncos are going to call, but like they're not being progressive about it. They're going to say, you know, if the Texans keep insisting that they're not going to trade Watson, the Broncos are like, okay, whatever, fine. We won't go after him. We'll just keep Drew Lock. But if Wentz ends up on the trading block, the Broncos will be in talks.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, my thing with him is that I'm sort of in on Brandon Staley without really any idea why I'm in on him. Mm-hmm. But I just think, I mean, I think Justin Herbert, he'll probably have some regression, but I think the offense will be more balanced. I think it'll be more effective. I think there'll be smarter in-game decision making. I think Anthony Lynn's a, great leader, obviously a great, great human being. Not sure he's a great in-game coach and a great, tactician. So to me, the upgrade at coach could possibly propel the Chargers to not losing a bunch of one score games for once in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my working theory on that.
All right. What's next?
Sorry. Somebody came back in the house. Dawson. Oh, no. Sorry. Eric Blazel asks, what small market team do you guys feel gets the least coverage by the media? I sometimes laugh at the bare bones info during the one primetime game a year some of these teams get.
I think the answer is easy. I think it's Breach's hometown, Spaghettiville.
No, I would disagree. Being that I live in Nashville and it's not easy to get Bengals coverage unless I manufacture it myself. Which I have been known to do. But I think with Joe Burrow and the fact that they went to the playoffs, five times in the past decade, that they've been a little more relevant than some other teams. I would say one of two teams to me, either Jacksonville or Carolina.
I think Carolina's the answer. I mean, Jacksonville just sucks.
But so they're small market and they're irrelevant.
Right, but like, why would anybody be talking about Jacksonville? They had one good season where they made, I mean, the Panthers have been to the playoffs a ton, went to the playoffs a ton under Ron Rivera. You know, they hired Matt Rhule.
And, so what's the time frame we're talking about here then? Because I mean, like, the last 2 years, no one knows, you can't, other than breaching me, you can't name 10 players that play for the Bengals.
But I think Burrow brought in the
That's
spark. Now everybody's talking about him because of Burrow. So since last year, at least.
Everybody?
Yeah, everybody knows Joe Burrow.
I mean, I feel like we're constantly barraged with Bengals talk, but that's because we preach.
Because you play the Randy Bullock thing and we make fun of Zach Taylor. What else do we say about him?
Fat Randy!
What if you did, like, over the past decade rather than this exact, like, moment in time, like the past year or so, if you did, you know, take a 10-year sample size?
I think the Colts make a compelling argument.
Are the Cardinals in that mix? Arizona?
Well, one team I was going to say.
I was looking at Arizona.
One team I was going to say that obviously doesn't fit the bill right now is Tampa Bay. Before they signed Tom Brady, they didn't make the playoffs in the past 10 years. You didn't really talk about them unless you were watching a highlight of Jameis Winston throwing a pick six.
Yeah, but you're talking, but that to me count. Like, the Jacksonville seems less relevant than Tampa Bay because they didn't have someone throwing 45 picks a year. I mean,
what about Detroit?
Matthew Stafford was good. I feel like the Cardinals were sort of out there, and you're like, no one cares about the Cardinals. Like before, like the Josh Rosen thing, no one really cared about until they talked about drafting Kyler Murray. Carson Palmer was there for a while, and there was the other backup that played for the Browns for a little bit that was a quarterback. There's so many, like, just transitional quarterbacks that I feel like they got lost in the mix going from Kurt Warner to where we are now.
Kevin
Cobb.
They
did get to an NFC title game over the past 10 years.
Right.
And they lost to the Panthers when they went Super Bowl 50.
That was end of Kurt Warner or Carson Palmer?
Carson Palmer.
Oh, okay.
So I feel like the answer is probably Jacksonville, though. But it won't be them anymore because they're going to get a lot of headlines starting now.
I think the Titans, in terms of, like, we've talked about this before. You talk about super awesome cities where they have a team that no one gives a crap about. Like, Nashville is a top five city. Tennessee is a bottom five in terms of exciting football team.
So, I mean, the Panthers have, I just think if you look at the Panthers have been to the playoffs four times. So what's our time frame here? 2011?
Sure. That's when Cam arrived, right?
Well, I was just trying to find like over the last 10 years, what team qualified.
That just happened to be Cam's rookie season too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The Panthers got a lot of attention because of Cam.
And they went to the playoffs a good amount.
The Super Bowl.
Right.
One MVP.
In 2015.
They went to the playoffs four times.
I'm going to go
Jacksonville. Won the division four times.
Yeah, they're not in the conversation. I'm going to go Jacksonville, Tennessee, and then Arizona.
Well, but like the question is not like who gets the least coverage. It's like who's undercovered.
Oh,
like Jacksonville is properly covered relative to their.
The exact question is what small market team do you guys feel gets the least coverage?
Right. Okay. That's what I thought it was. Undercovered. I think that again, that's probably the Titans.
But, like, I mean, Jacksonville has one winning season.
Well, 2017, they almost went to the Super Bowl. They should have beaten the Patriots in the AFC Championship game.
Here are their win totals since 2011.
Oh, 5, I know. Go ahead.
2, 4, 3, 5, 3, 10, 5, 6, 1. I mean, like.
Can you add this up?
That's called the good Bengals team.
What are you talking about? That's not a dunk. They went to the playoffs five times.
There's nothing funnier than, like, name another quarterback who's been to the playoffs seven of his first eight seasons. There isn't one. It's Andy Dalton. It's like, well, there's a problem, Breach.
The Steelers have only been to the playoffs one more time than the Bengals over the past 10 years.
Get out of here, Breach.
I'm just saying that it's such a dumb, like.
So this is the number of times Andy Dalton's been in the playoffs. That's how many times he's won, and that's how many Super Bowls the Steelers have.
That's how many Super Bowls the Steelers have in the past 10 years.
5-0.
The same amount of wins as Andy Dalton has in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean,
so we all agree the answer is Jacksonville.
Buffalo.
If I were to ask you guys,
Buffalo's good.
This is a little trivia. Smallest three TV markets that NFL teams play in, what would you guess? I think the bottom one is obvious. Yep, Green Bay is the lowest.
I would say Kansas City.
No.
Buffalo's the small market.
Buffalo, yep, that's the second smallest.
Chicago.
Chicago.
Chicago's like the third biggest. Indianapolis.
Third one might surprise you a little bit. Not Indy. Nope.
That's a good guess.
Houston?
No, Houston's huge. No,
Houston's huge. Jacksonville?
Nope.
Jacksonville's huge. Jacksonville's the biggest geographical city in the country.
Jacksonville's big.
Would you say Debo? No.
No.
Oh, that's not number three. It's not. I don't think it's Minnesota.
Nope.
Tampa Bay?
Seattle?
Nope.
Yeah. Charlotte?
You guys,
Charlotte?
You guys might Charlotte's get to like the 30th team. No.
The third smallest? I can't.
Third smallest market.
In terms of TV viewers,
yeah,
right?
This is TV market. So.
So it could be a situation where it's a big city, but everyone hates the team?
No.
TV market.
No, this is just in
terms not like,
of...
It's not like ratings. It's the market, the available rating.
Right. Oh, okay. Right.
Golly, what's number three?
Cincinnati? It's not Cincinnati, is it?
No. It is.
Nashville?
NFC. NFC team. They have won a Super Bowl in the past 12 years.
Saints?
Yep, New Orleans.
Oh, wow. I would never guess that.
They are the 50th biggest TV market. Buffalo's 52, and then Green Bay Appleton is 67.
Well, I will say that the Saints definitely do not fit the bill as an undercovered small market team. They might be the most saturated covered small market.
Pre 2006, that might be the answer.
Yeah.
Do they have a hockey team in New Orleans?
No.
No? So they just have basketball and football?
They
have
the Pelicans. I love Pelicans. Like the birds, not the team.
Oh, we know. So, yeah, there's a two-team town. I guess LSU sort of counts as a team for them. I don't know how far Baton Rouge is, but I can't imagine Tulane's getting a lot of pull over LSU. But anyway, yeah, interesting.
Very interesting, Debo.
Now, that's a fun fact, Reed. That's how you do it.
That was a horrible fact.
Cincinnati's the 37th overall market, and teams below them. You know, Vegas is 39, Jacksonville's 41, so those are a couple teams below Cincinnati in terms of TV markets.
That was fun trivia, Ryan. Fun trivia.
All right.
TV stumped us. I can't believe all three of us couldn't get it. That's embarrassing.
Saints. I mean, you think of New Orleans, though. You don't think of like a quote unquote small market.
For the record,
you
Chicago.
Think of Indianapolis, like as a small market.
Brinson's guess of Chicago, number three. Houston, number eight.
I thought the Chicago thing was clearly a joke, right? Okay.
Wait, what was Jacksonville? Because Brinson's trying to tell you that it's
41.
Oh,
so where as far as small, that's. In NFL terms, that's a small fourth, market, right?
Fourth smallest.
It's huge. It's the greatest geographical area in the country, Breach.
Well, it is.
Yeah. Fourth smallest.
I guess we can both be right. Geographical, the land size is large, but the people size is not.
Well, yeah, it's in the south. It's all like spread out. All right, let's move along.
My God.
Next.
We need to move.
Which team, if any... I guess we can say no. This is from Dawson AH. Which team, if any, would you love to see be relocated? I'll start things off. Obviously, the Bengals.
You turn it off. All right. If you relocate the Bengals, where are you relocating them?
Yeah, I think we've had this question where are you putting them? In Pittsburgh?
What did we say? We talked about this.
This was an old mailbag.
Yeah.
You know where I'm putting them? I'm putting them in Nashville. Because then...
What?
Because Breach has had everywhere he goes, the team that he lives, the team that is in the place he lives, ends up moving. So he would have, it would be the ultimate hellscape. He would think the Bengals were coming to him, but then he would scare them away. And he'd be forced to watch the Bengals lose every day.
Well, I think we were asked to rank the last time we did the rank the likelihood of certain teams moving. And I mentioned the Bengals. On a serious note, because their lease expires in 2026, which is now only five years away. My God, it's 2021. So you're talking about 5 years away. And then, you know, will the Bengals ask for another new stadium or will they sign a new lease? You don't know what's going to happen. So there is, it's a little murky there, and that's only 5 years away. And then the Bills, you know, they're successful now. So I think Buffalo is going to fight hard to keep them, but I think their stadium lease only goes through 2023. And, you know, they either want that stadium to be heavily updated or get a new stadium. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. And then, obviously, I think number one is Jacksonville.
I think number one has to be Jacksonville. And, like, I know that Jacksonville fans don't like hearing that, and it's tough. And they hate Jason Lockenfor in Jacksonville because he's always talking about them going to London. And maybe it changes with Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence in town. You know, like you don't draft Trevor Lawrence and move him to London, I don't think. Right?
Look, man, or now about, you have the biggest star, so you take him to London.
Right, exactly. It's all about the money.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. That would be a dagger for old Trevor Lawrence.
I'm like, trying to think.
Dodge the Jets. I'm going to London.
Like, I don't even know. Like, I think Jacksonville obviously makes sense. I don't, the Bengals aren't moving. But where would you go? Like, if you're relocating, I'm looking for NFL.
San Diego.
Well, we talked, that's one of the things we talked about in the last mailbag or one of the previous mailbags where we talked about
Raleigh
spots.
Let me not waste this TV market list that I have pulled up. What do you think?
San Antonio, Portland.
What do you think the biggest city is that doesn't have an NFL team?
Did I just name one?
San Antonio.
Nope.
St. Louis. St. Louis.
Nope.
Oh, that's a good one.
Portland.
Portland's close.
All close your, geographically?
All your,
close?
No, they're all your guesses that are wrong so far. Portland and St. Louis.
Port Smith.
No.
Orlando.
Yes.
That's a good
one.
Oh,
Wilson, nice job.
But you can't
have another Florida team.
You can't go Tampa, from Jacksonville to Orlando.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That would be fun.
And you can have south. it right in the middle of Disney World.
That would be hilarious if Jacksonville was like, we have a big relocation announcement, and they're like, we're going to Orlando. Yeah,
we're going to Georgia. Yeah,
what
I mean,
about,
I guess.
What about Vancouver? Is that too close to Seattle to have a team?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember, these teams are like, you know, Jerry Jones was fine with Houston coming aboard, but mainly because he knew that the Texans wouldn't supplant.
You know what
the
team
Cowboys.
Should move that we didn't mention? The Chargers.
That's a good one. Yeah.
You don't need two teams in Los Angeles. Like, it doesn't make
you
any
really
sense. And if you're the Chargers, move to London. Move to San Diego. I heard it's nice there.
move to San Diego. That's right. That's a good call. The Chargers
about,
make a lot of sense.
God, I don't know. Like, there is no great landing spot. Are there NFL cities that are being mentioned as possible?
I think San Antonio came up.
It's too hot. Like, I don't know. They have already have, how many, two teams there? Three teams? How many teams have there?
In Texas, two.
Houston and Cowboys.
Toronto?
Like St. Louis didn't work out. Toronto I don't hate, but the only issue is, well, it's fine. I guess you can play indoors. I mean, that's not the end of the world.
Sacramento?
Mexico City?
Yeah, Sacramento's too close to San
Francisco. Sacramento screws up a basketball team.
What'd you say, though, before that, Branson?
Mexico?
Trying to think. Mexico City.
Mexico.
See, I feel like if you go international, Canada would be fine, but if you go London or Mexico City, that gets dicey if some, you know, we're in a pandemic. So I feel like that would be the, where you're like, that would be how you talk yourself out of going.
What about Albuquerque, New Mexico? We don't have any New Mexico teams.
What about Santa Fe, New Mexico? What about
That's
Idaho?
Fine.
We have no one in Idaho.
You're
how,
in
about,
a bit?
How about Memphis?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's two teams in Tennessee.
Yeah,
but Tennessee's
there.
Like, didn't, Nashville.
The Titans played in Memphis.
They're on the other side, yeah.
The Titans played in Memphis. Nashville or Memphis? Nashville's in the middle of the state. Memphis
it's
is
Knoxville,
in the
Nashville,
corner.
Memphis, right?
Memphis is in the southwest corner of the state.
Yeah, like it doesn't really like.
It's like 3 hours away. It's not that close, but
I'd rather have it in Albuquerque.
What about Salt Lake City?
I don't mind that, but I saw that and I was wondering like how is could they get people going to the games? Is my only question. Same for Albuquerque, for all that matter.
Well, if the pandemic never ends, you don't have to worry about that.
But I mean, is there do people like watching? I mean, BYU is a thing, but I don't know if people go to BYU games. I'm certain no one goes to the University of or Mexico, New Mexico games.
Portland is one that gets thrown out all the time, but like.
Are all those hippies going to football games?
And also, it's kind of close to Seattle. I think that would be the one drawback there. It's a little bit, I think it's like
three hours away, I think. Maybe
the NFL is probably.
That's like Nashville and Memphis.
No, it might be like 800 miles away. I think we had this conversation.
No, it's about 3 hours.
If the NFL expands, let's say they added two teams, they're definitely going international with it. But I know that this would be a way down the road. I agree, Breach. I think the pandemic thing, if the NFL had grand ideas of international expansion, those have probably been kicked down the road, a bit because of the pandemic.
Yep, you're right, Breach. I think San Francisco is really far away from,
what about Honolulu?
Yeah, I mean, would you rather? Here's what Roger Goodell's going to say: are we making more money in London or in Honolulu?
But are the players going to sign with the team in London or in Honolulu?
I don't know.
I'm taking a discount sign in Honolulu. I'll tell you that right now. I'll take my 3-year league minimum deal and live in Honolulu for 3 years.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, a few more mailbag questions.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nick Carberry asks, how is that football fan league or whatever it's called going to fare with XFL, Arena Football, AAF all failing? XFLs?
I don't know what the football fan league is. What is this?
Fan-controlled football. It's the one that Johnny Manziel debuted in the other night.
Marshawn Lynch. It is where the fans call the plays.
How does that, what do you like vote on your phone or something?
They make the roster decisions. I'm not sure if they call the plays in the game.
It says real fans pick real players and call the plays in real time. That's their slogan.
Okay, yep. Oh, here it is. On Twitch and then the fan-controlled football app, you'll see run or pass when your team is on offense. Pick one, and you'll see four diagram play options. Lock in your favorite, get notified which play won the vote, and watch the play unfold on the field in real time.
So wait, are there like
this
four
is a terrible idea.
Are there four-minute shot clocks? Because this has to happen pretty quickly. You can't have 35 seconds to get the play in, and you're waiting for your iPad to update.
Presumably, they'd be doing it like a play ahead of time or something?
You know what, though? I don't – like – obviously, you're not competing with the NFL here. You are a giant social experiment. Yeah. I don't hate this idea because, like, when you go to, an XFL game or an AFL, what is distinguishing that from NFL football? So it feels like you're watching, unless you make a bunch of different rule changes like the XFL, it just feels like you're watching a lower level of football. So with this, you're acknowledging that, and you're also saying, you know what, let's keep the fans involved by letting them call the plays, and that keeps you paying attention to the whole thing because you want to see how your play turns out.
A little bit of how the NFL figured out 5 or 6 or 7 years ago that the draft in person isn't about the media. It's about the fans. So you make it as exciting as you can for the fans. You make it a week-long event. You put the media as far back as possible in the room so because no one cares about them. And I think that Breach is right because this is more of an inconvenience for the players in order to keep the fans interested. So the players have to understand that they're like the second fiddle, whereas the fans are the ones that get to decide what's going to happen because, why else are you doing it? Cause we've seen XFL not work, Arena not work, AAF quit in the middle of the season. So I guess I'm fine with it. I just haven't seen any yet. Did anyone watch Johnny Manziel do his thing?
Nah.
He did say win or lose, we booze on the Zappers, which sounds like, I feel like Bruce Arians
that's the Manziel you want though. You know, if you say that after an NFL game, you get fined 15 grand and they like lock your booze in a refrigerator so you can't touch it for a month. You want Johnny Manziel saying that kind of stuff. That's the Manziel.
You need
we all
him
want
on
him.
That wall.
That's actually the Pick Six podcast slogan. win or lose, we booze.
How's it going to do though?
It's probably going to not work. It's not owned by CBS or anything, right? remember when we had to prop up the AAF for a while? Just kidding.
How dare you.
It's on CBS. I don't think it'll work out. And let's be fair. The XFL was probably working.
It was sort of exciting.
It got hammered by the pandemic because the XFL did it right because they partnered with DraftKings. And so like there's no other football on, but you could do daily fantasy for the XFL. And it was fun. It was easy. You know, there were breakdowns of it. So I think, a little unfair to XFL.
We saw success stories this year. We saw success stories make it to the NFL.
And PJ Walker, PJ Walker, The Rock owns XFL.
Yeah. That part's weird. Okay. Moving along. Tom de Guzman says Super Friends. What was the last thing you did for your first time?
What was the last thing you did for
the last thing you did for the first time?
Yeah, I don't know how to think about that. Like, do you have an, what, Debo, you go first.
I apologized to my wife yesterday. Does that count?
That wasn't the first
time. That definitely counts.
What a
100% chance that was the first time ever.
I'm just kidding.
I did think about this. Ryan, I explained it a little bit to you before. I had iced coffee for the first time. That was tremendous. What? I feel like Nick Van Exel. I don't know if you guys saw, like, the basketball player. Clearly tried.
Yeah, his whole Twitter account's about iced coffee. He
tried
it.
Iced coffee for like the first time last year, and was like pissed at people. He's like, "How did you guys not tell me about this before?" Yeah. That's how I felt.
Yeah, that's, I would love to drink coffee for the first time again. I love coffee.
Well, iced coffee.
I like regular hot coffee better than iced coffee.
I do too. But an iced coffee on like a hot day is, oh man, you're tired. You go by the Bucks and you pick up an iced coffee. Oh yeah.
If it's a hot day, I'm pulling a Johnny Manziel. I'm just cracking open a beer. I'm not trying to have an iced coffee.
I can't.
Iced coffee's delicious.
I can't do that.
Like at 2 o'clock on a hot day, you're tired, you're dragging a little bit, you're just cracking a beer.
Yeah. And then I'm taking a nap.
Lean into it. Ryan's...
What's the last thing you did for the first time? God, what was it? What's yours, Breach?
Mine is 100% changing a diaper. I went my whole life without changing a diaper. If I saw a baby or even smelled anything that remotely smelled like a poop, I got as far away from that baby as possible. I have a bunch of nieces and nephews. And then finally, when you have a baby of your own, there's no more avoiding it. I try to talk my wife into changing all the diapers. You know, you do that trade-off. Like, hey, I'll feed the baby every morning if you change all the diapers. It doesn't work.
Wait, what? Did you trade-off?
Did you really try to get out?
Did you offer the Texans Carson Wentz for Deshaun Watson too? Like, what are you thinking?
Gotta think about it.
Hold on. Breach, did you really try to get that change in your diaper?
I mentally prepared for the fact that I was going to have to see a lot of baby poop. And I have seen a lot of baby poop during
the thing is, you actually, you're like, you used to, it's just like, it's poop. It's on my hand. Whatever. What are you going to do?
You get used to it.
You don't? Yeah, you do.
No, you do. You get used to it.
Yeah, and okay. Like poop doesn't like affect me. Like poop is like out the door as something that like remotely bothers me.
Like, I don't know what the last thing is that I did for the first time though.
I mean, I would say like it's got to be something for me. I don't know how to couch this the best, but like something with school, you know?
I know what I did. I called my congressman.
What?
Whoa.
Did he fly to Cancun?
And my congressman, my U.S. rep, and he is a different party than I'm in, and I called him to support him.
Wilson.
How about that?
You called the congressman like, hey, man, love you, buddy. Great job!
Yeah, you have numbers. You know that, right? You can call your congressperson. Usually a staffer will pick up or you get the message.
Like usually you call to like tell them to do something. You don't call and be like, I really appreciate the job you're doing.
Do you want to hear the details?
I'd love to.
Is that okay? Are we allowed to talk about it, Debo, or not?
Yeah, you can go for it.
Mailbag.
Yeah, I don't know.
Debo's just going to bleep it out for like 5 minutes. So tell us
why. he did something that I typically don't agree with his policy decisions, which is fine. That's how politics works. You don't have to agree with the person. But he did something that wasn't policy related. He took on a voting matter, and I was like, oh. And
what
I saw he voted for impeachment.
Oh.
And we live in a moderate area, but a lot of supporters of the party that I'm not a member of. And he got a ton of pushback. And I read something in the local paper today that said 40 people of that party met to kick him out. So I was like, yeah, I'll give him a call and support him.
They were coming after my boy, what's his name? From Winston, Richard Burr. Cause he voted for impeachment too. That was like a pretty shocking twist. Cause Burr is I think he was probably just doing it to be like, remember that whole stock thing at the beginning of the pandemic? Forget that.
But anyway, so yeah, I gave him a call. I'd never done that. I had never called any politician, whether I agree with them or not.
Wait, how does that, do you just leave a message or they have like a secretary who answers? How
usually,
does that work?
It was weird. Some young fella answered. I'm sure he'd be getting yelled at.
Some
all
young
day.
Fella?
A young staffer, I'm sure. I'm sure he'd be.
Yeah, nice young man. Young fella answered.
And I'm sure he'd be getting earful all day from
howdy ho, buddy.
Angry folks. And I was like, hey, man, how you doing? I just said, tell your boss that, yeah, I'm glad he did the right thing there.
Yeah, I actually bet that they appreciated that.
He seemed relieved not to be getting yelled at for 35 seconds.
I would say Brinson's is
Debo's holding his
nearly $100,000.
I was thinking about doing that, but I figured that would be sort of played. I'll say this: I bought a Top Shot card.
Again, I don't know what that is. You mentioned that earlier.
It's so they are you'll be disgusted with them, but they're
cost $80,000. That's why we don't know Wilson.
Break it down in like early 90s terms, Brinson, like if these players were available, Ryan will understand it in that framework.
That's a great call. So, you know, like you would buy like my basketball cards and baseball cards back in the day.
Amen, brother.
Right. Like I got a whole pile of them up here that my mom was like, get these out of the house. Well, now Top Shot, it's this company that partnered with the NBA and they got NBA licensing for highlights. And so you can purchase a highlight of a player. Now, the reason people think this is stupid is because the highlights are available for free anywhere. But the pushback would be, yeah, but like, so are the photos of baseball cards. You know, like, yeah. So you collect the card. It's an electronic.
Okay.
It's an electronic, moving basketball card.
And basically. You own a moment.
Does the value in a highlight go up?
It is today we're recording this on Thursday. They are going through the effing roof right now. Out of control.
Is it the Bitcoin of travel? The Bitcoin of baseball cards?
That basketball card. It's basketball only. They're going UFC next. So,
wait, let me ask you something though.
Sure.
As an old person who doesn't understand these things, why wouldn't I just go to YouTube to watch a highlight of Michael Jordan or whatever the thing is you own?
Sure. Yeah. You're not doing it. Like the highlights are, like some of the highlights are stupid. It's like lit up or like, you know, but like they're good. Like most of them are good highlights. I don't know if you realize this, but like sports card and card like hobby collectibles have. Oh,
you told us this back on the
rise exploded.
Again. But they've only exploded, if I recall correctly from your conversation, the recent cards, like my Pete Rose card is still worth doo-doo.
Pete Rose maybe worth something, but like Frank Thomas rookie card worth nothing because there's so many of them.
That's insane.
Ken Griffey rookie cards you think would be worth $1 billion, but it's like only specific ones are really worth anything. I found like I had like the 91 hoops, NBA hoops set, right? And like a Michael Jordan gold all-star card. I was like, oh, I'm rich.
Mm-hmm.
Like $14.
But
here's the crazy thing. I saw Darren Revelle tweeted this out. I may have thrown some of these away last week.
Hold on 1 second. Don Mattingly rookie card. I have that.
Probably worth something. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
It's stuff that's like before 1990. It's like 91 through like 98 is like worthless.
Ooh, I'm 82
yeah.
through.
So you're
90.
Old. Yeah. You might have stuff that's like worth a ton.
Cause they started overprinting, right? They just did an overload.
The original
right?
boom, which happened in the late 80s, you know, like they were popular in the 70s, obviously, but then like the boom soared up in the late 80s.
That's right.
90s, and they started packaging them and sending them out.
You used to go to flea markets in North Carolina to trade baseball cards with like the pro guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we'd go to the pawn shop with my allowance every week and I'd buy baseball cards.
I never went to the pawn shop.
Well, it was just like in High Point. It's just coins and stuff.
You'd go in there. It's a highbrow pawn shop.
So you were raising cows and going to pawn shops when you were a child. Is that correct?
I had a huge comic book collection too.
Never got into comics.
At any rate, like I saw Darren Revelle tweet this out and I almost threw up because I'm pretty sure I threw some away.
Mm.
Garbage Pail Kid cards.
You did that?
No, I love Garbage Pail Kids.
We just had, like, I've got, like, hockey cards here. I don't watch hockey, but, like, I don't know how we ended up. These Garbage Pail Kid cards sold for, like, 30 grand. I mean.
So you're saying we should have kept all of them?
Yeah, should have kept everything.
I had so many. I remember Nasty Nick, Atom Bomb.
Wait, you didn't have Garbage Pail Kids.
I had so many Garbage Pail Kid cards.
This is what happens when you don't have any friends, is all I'm saying.
What,
you know what? You know who my friends were? The Garbage Pail Kids, Ryan.
What time frame is this breach? This is, I think, a little before me, because I don't know
this.
I
think it's 2000 to 2005, I had to guess for breach.
The college years.
He's not answering.
Like early 90s?
Yeah, I think that was early 90s.
Yeah, don't rewrite history.
Okay, so. Sure. I paid a substantial sum for this, but I did it because.
For what? A video?
Yeah, but it is Kevin Durant's first points with the Brooklyn Nets.
So, when did you buy it?
Yesterday.
Oh, okay. So you don't know if you made money yet. How long do you have to wait to find out if you make money on this thing?
The cheapest one currently is $400. And so, all right, so their serial numbers of this one. So like, this is the difference too, is that with baseball cards, you didn't know, I mean, like you had no idea how many of these top sets were printed, right?
But I can go on YouTube and watch your video clip for free.
Yeah, but it's not about that. It's like, just think of it as like a marketplace. Like this is not like I wanted to have Kevin Durant's first points.
But my point is that if I'm debating whether to buy Kevin Durant's first points, why wouldn't I just invest my money in something that has 4% return and go watch it on YouTube?
Well, okay. This is going to return way more than 4% if the market continues at its current
pace. That's what I'm saying. Is it though?
Yeah. Think about it as like a currency, Ryan. Like if Kevin Durant scores 50 points, we're recording this on Thursday against the Lakers, that's going to skyrocket and Will could decide to sell it tonight or he could hold on to it thinking that it'll return future value. Like it seems silly in concept, but they just, you own this moment and it's a online currency pretty much.
Brenton, what's your serial number?
My serial number for my Durant?
666.
And actually what's interesting about this too is it's on blockchain. So it's all publicly available. Like you can see who owns every one of the serial. Like it's not, you know, so
what's the number? Give me the number.
I'm looking for it right now. Slow down. I have, now our boss EK is big into Top Shots right now.
I see a tweet. I didn't know what he's talking about.
You know, and they also have packs on the site. So they do these drops. Now it's like you have to get in this line and there were 50,000 people waiting in the line to get them. And a pack is $14 and you get 5 cards. So all like right. You could open up and get one of those Durants in theory or like a LeBron. It's worth a ton. So like you can still do it the same old way, right? Waiting,
waiting for the
number. So when we look back in 10 years on the craziest things that happened with people sitting at home during the pandemic, this is going to rank like top 3, right?
Let me ask you this.
I don't even think it's like top 5.
He was betting on
my Kevin Durant marbles. Number. And the lower this, there are 7,500 of these Kevin Durants. The lower than.
Seems like a lot.
I mean, I don't think 7,500 is that much.
Go ahead.
The really small, there's like some, there are like 250 prints of them or like 250 serials of them. And those are like crazy expensive. I am number 510 of 7,500.
So if you double your money, will you get out or will you hang on to it?
So currently mine's not, I don't have anything up for sale because I don't want to, like, there's these people who have had this stuff up for sale. And then they talked about it on, there's an interview, they talked about it, like Barstool wrote about it. There's an interview with Pablo Torre on ESPN Daily about it. And like the last 24 hours, there's been a ton of press. And so the marketplace has gotten flooded. There's been a big spike. A bunch of people who had cards for sale, but like we're trying to get them off, but they couldn't get them to delist, woke up and they'd been sold for a number that they did not want to sell it for. Now the Durant, the closest one to my serial number. So let's see, 515. I have 510. 515 is up for sale for $5,115. I would sell mine at that number.
But 503 is up for sale for $995.
I wouldn't be opposed to selling for that number. I did not pay that much for it.
Would you be, how bad would you feel if it went to zero?
Wouldn't though, right? Like there's no chance that goes to.
I don't think the market would. I mean, the NBA is in on this. Like that's the other thing. This is not like a mysterious third party is like finagling highlights and it could get shut down at any moment. I mean, this isn't GameStop, right? Like I think. I mean, if it went to zero, I'd be pretty pissed off, but I wouldn't be.
Are you doing this for fun? Are you doing this like as you would invest in stocks to make money?
Yes.
Both?
I find like stocks. I find like trading stocks fun.
Yeah, but I mean,
I would say it's for the exact same reasons, except it's like this highlight is really cool. Like it's like Kevin Durant squaring up and just burying a three on the Warriors.
But my point is that this isn't for retirement purposes. This is just for,
no, but I mean, like if I cash into it, then
it's like gambling.
Some people are going that route though, Ryan. Like Will, correct me. I feel like the top card has been like 50K. I don't know if that's been surpassed.
I think I had a 75K.
I understand. Wanting to own a baseball card more than, like, if you buy the Onis Wagner card, that the one that's worth millions, you have a tangible thing, like, one of the oldest, best conditioned baseball cards left in history. And mm-hmm. you have something that you can put on display. You have something that you can hold. And with this, you're buying a highlight that you can get on YouTube for free.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's kind of weird like that. But I think, I mean, like, Debo, do you find this weird at all?
Conceptually, like, the way these guys are putting it, yes. Like, if I were to have something in my house or on display, like, I'm opting for the tangible item, but I get it in the sense of trading and the moments. Like, you just got to tell Ryan, like, hey, you can buy this Sean Kemp dunk over Alton Lister, and he's in.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, like, I think that is kind of, so a buddy, I was talking to a buddy of mine about this, and he's, my buddy Blaine's like, he's not like old school, but he just doesn't he finds the whole thing offensive because he thinks it is essentially like just crapping on the decades long tradition of collecting baseball cards when we were collecting cards as a kid. I mean, you wanted to get the best cards and you protected the best cards. And you wanted those serial numbers. You wanted rare cards. You wanted rookies. You wanted all of that. So like all of that is still the same, but it just felt like, you know, I wasn't like gobbling up, Ken Griffey Jr. rookie cards to retire on as a kid. You know, like that's, yeah. I guess the difference. Like you wanted,
but you were 10 versus 38.
Yeah. But I mean, like 10 year olds now, I guess are doing this too. I don't,
this is just the evolution of something that's been around for a long time. It's just the evolution of it.
So like I would say that. I mean, and maybe this is like, I think this would be really cool for the NFL too. I mean, like, I think it might be a little more applicable for me. I was like, oh my God, I want like golf versions of this, like just sicko golf shots, like Tiger Woods's chip at the Masters where the Nike ball hangs like that. You wouldn't want to pay $10,000 for it, but I think it would be cool to have that. Now, to Breach's point, it doesn't hang, you know, it's on my laptop. And I don't even own it. It's on like Top Shot site, right? Like, so in that sense.
It would be different if say every time your highlight ran on SportsCenter, you made like $5 because you owned the highlight. That would be different. Then people would be all about it.
It's like Michael Jackson owning the Beatles catalog as opposed to you just, paying someone, like you owning a star in the sky that those people sell. And I understand you can trade it and all that, but I'm sort of old school with Breach.
All right. Well, you can scroll down and look at the sales. So this Kevin Durant. Has sent, so we're recording this at 3:15 PM. I think the marketplace might actually be down. It sold, from 11:10 AM to 12:43 PM.
Yeah.
It's 14 different ones sold.
But that doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, that's.
Well, the cheapest one that sold was, $375, and the most expensive one was $777, and these were all. Somebody bought $454 for $777. I mean, it's hard to like conceptually get behind. I think it's a little bit like Bitcoin in the sense that you're like, what? What do you mean? It's an alternate form of money. That's insane.
Let me ask you this: what does your dad think of it? Because he's an old school investor.
I mean, Bitcoin or this?
This.
I haven't even talked to my dad about this. This is so. I haven't even seen my dad since I got into it. Like. I mean, yeah, he thought like the GameStop stuff. I mean, I talked about, you know, the GameStop stuff. I don't know. Like there's a chance this is a fad. There's also a chance that Top Shot is going in 5 years and it's the new NBA collectible. And if you have season 1 or season 2 highlights, that they're worth an obscene amount of money and you can sell them.
Okay. Well, I wish you all the luck.
Okay. I mean, obviously you won't be getting in on it.
No, I know. Debo, what do you own? You seem like you're on board.
No, I'm not in yet. I want to educate myself a little bit more on it. I know I'm wasting time and missing out, like Will said, because it's skyrocketing, but I'm trying to listen to podcasts and watch YouTube videos before I dive in, do my due diligence.
To find out about it?
Yeah.
There's a really good article on, Jonathan Bales. No. Jonathan Bales, who's like one of the, Fantasy Labs founders. It's Google Lucky Maverick Substack is his email thing, but he's like, the title of it is, this is why I bought a $35,000 Ja Morant highlight. He and a couple other guys went in and bought the Ja Morant highlight. And I mean, I think it's valued at like 150,000 now or something like that?
I just want to announce that me and Breach are starting something called Medium Shot, where we're going to sell highlights off of YouTube, man, at half the price.
Of field goals. Of field goals.
At half the price. Although Randy Bullocks are off the market right now.
They'll be on sale. They'll be 75% off.
I mean, wait till they make available a Jim Breach field goal from the Super Bowl. How much that goes for? How much Breach pays for that one?
I'll buy them all. So that won't be an option for anyone.
Can you imagine Breach calling his dad saying, "Hey, I bought a bunch of videos of you kicking field goals." He's like, I'm literally right here, you moron.
I mean, I will say this. If I don't hit that DFS tournament, I'm not in on this.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is why you don't want to win in DFS.
Wait a second. What do you mean you're not in on it?
He's saying he wouldn't have spent the money to buy this card if he had not won DFS.
Oh, I thought you were waiting on another tournament to come through, and then if it doesn't come through,
No. Like, I would not have outlaid that
exactly
money
This is your stimulus check, and you're like, hey, let me see what I'm going to do with it.
Well, but see, that's the other thing that's really interesting about stuff like Top Shot and Robin Hood and all that is that.
And Medium Shot.
Medium Shot, right. The burgeoning Medium Shot empire is that these stimulus checks are going to every American. There's a large portion of Americans like Deba. Like, what'd you do with your stimulus check?
Savings.
Okay. Well, you're Deba. A rational person, but Deba. Like a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people your age are like, all right, I got a stimmy check. I'm going to play some ball nine poker, or I'm going to invest in GameStop, or I'm going to, you know, play DFS or buy Bitcoin or buy a Top Shot. I mean, that's
Breach bought diapers.
Yeah,
diapers are expensive.
But you get what I'm saying, right? Like,
these
stimulus checks are you know, perhaps not stimulating local businesses financially. Oh,
maybe diapers could be the next Top Shot.
Yeah, there you go.
There's different types of diapers, like Huggies, Kirkland brand from Costco. You trade, and whoever gets the most comfortable diapers, and those could be worth more. I'm onto something here, guys.
I think that's a good segue, diapers, into our next question, right, Breach?
Sure.
You remember.
That was a great question. The last thing you did for the first time. Sorry, I got off the rails in the Top Shop.
Sure did.
But hopefully
five people still listening. And they all want to buy a Top Shot.
Go buy my Durant. Victor Garcia says, I love the Mailbag Super Friends episodes. Question for the whole crew. Can you tell me the most embarrassing or funny moment each of you guys have remembered of each other? Also include Deba. Thank you guys and cheers to many more Super Friends episodes. I think we've covered mine in full detail. So
I'm starting to think of another one for you. I don't remember the second most embarrassing thing you've done. Maybe your behavior when you tried to go to the combine last year when it was clear that you weren't going. That was sort of funny to watch. I'm going to buy a ticket and then get in the hotel room. I'm just going to show up. That was you. I think go ahead.
Your most embarrassing moment was at the draft in Nashville, right?
Oh, I think I said the Colts thing, which you talked about.
We talked about that.
What's the Nashville thing?
Where you did the Red Bull shot and punched Breach in the nuts.
That was fun. That could be Breach's most embarrassing. Yeah. That was a highlight for me. And the second highlight that night is when you buttholes, you and EK and Robbie
Snyder. Yeah. Walking down the road, all of a sudden we hear, what's up? And like Wilson, still jacked out of Red Bull, comes flying by us in a dead sprint and scared the living crap out of us at 3 a.m.
Five hours later, 3 a.m., EK wanted to go downtown. What's that? Broad Street Breach? What's that place called?
Broadway.
Can you imagine being in a downtown crowded bar? It seems so foreign.
We're there at 1:45 in the morning. There's no way we're getting in anywhere, and all the Ubers are taken. So I have to walk back. That must have been a mile and a half. I had to walk back. And I ain't trying to walk through Nashville at 2 in the morning, but I didn't have a choice. And I'm walking, and I go by some clubs, and they're packed. I'm like, oh, my God, this is no place for an old person to be. And I turn the corner right near the hotel, and I see Brinson, EK, and Robbie Snyder walking, and I have to make sure it's them because you don't want to do a drive by some people you don't know and get jacked up. And I run full speed,
beat up for
30 yards, and I get right like one step behind them before they hear me. I just yell as loud as I can, and I've never seen that's the quickest Brinson's ever moved.
I jumped big time.
That was some short area quickness there. So that was an embarrassment. I enjoyed that.
And then there was also the time that Wilson made us go to Jester's at 3 a.m.
Yeah, I don't think it's embarrassing either. I think Breach is most embarrassing, not in a bad way, is when he locked himself into the cafeteria at the at the office, and he had to text us. And our solution was to, and Breach, you have the picture? I think I have the picture.
I do not have the picture available. When was that? August?
You got
something?
Pictures of everything, Breach.
2018, maybe?
It's, no, it was after the.
That was 2019. 2019.
It was 2019?
August of 2019.
I mean, like, I've dressed up like Wilma Flintstone and done a live show on air before. I mean, that's, but like, I would say that I'm not embarrassed by a whole lot.
That's the other thing.
Oh yeah. Breach. If you watch the video version, you can see.
Oh, this is,
good God. Let me see my face without a beard. August, I didn't have a beard. Wow.
August 23rd, 2019 at 12:11 a.m. Yeah. You got that, Breach?
Yeah. I mean, I just don't know that we have like, yeah, like Wilson's punching Breach in the nuts wasn't like embarrassing.
By the way, here's Breach the next day in the office.
What do we do that night? Oh, that's because Wilson made us go to Jester's at 3 a.m. I can't, guys.
I took this at 10 a.m. You were watching.
He's passed out. He's like, oh, I was watching Game Pass. Like, Breach, you can't, what are you talking about?
No, I was watching Game Pass.
That was Bengals preseason.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know that we have like a whole lot of.
What's Debo's most embarrassing?
I'd probably being with me at the Super Bowl.
Being Brinson's babysitter.
Yeah, that is embarrassing.
Well, I mean, but it's, I read the question in context of like most embarrassing moment with it, like together.
Yeah. Debo doesn't do anything embarrassing.
Debo doesn't do embarrassing things usually.
With us.
Debo's approach is such that Debo's not like the first guy bum rushing through the door.
And the thing is, like, if we're drinking.
I am, and that's how you end up getting embarrassed.
Right. If we're all drinking, Debo drinks to a point where even if he's inebriated, all he has to do is stand next to you and he looks like he's completely sober. He's smart in that way.
Just wait till pick six combine.
It's the old, I mean, I would say my most embarrassing moment might even be the race with Sean.
Getting smoked in a 40-yard dash.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Cause I was running it was so stupid. Like I was A, not in good shape. B, wearing khaki. C, took my, I actually had shame about that. Not losing the race, but like taking my shoes off and running through the street.
Oh God.
Like I was like, oh my God. Like I woke up the next morning. I was like, pretty glad they didn't step on a needle or something. I mean, it's Fort Lauderdale. Who knows?
The best part
glass.
Was,
I mean,
on the drive over to dinner, I think it was three across in the back, me, you and Sean, and you were in his ear for 25 minutes of that drive talking about how you're going to smoke him. To the point where he was nervous, like, oh my God, maybe this guy's really good. But Brinson just bluffed his way all the way to the starting line, and then 40 yards later, it was over.
Blown out. It was like watching the Chiefs and the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl, where you thought the Chiefs kept talking it up, saying they had a chance, and then it just got ugly fast.
Yeah, but nobody thought that I was.
Brinson wasn't the favorite.
Yeah.
Right, that's the other thing.
I'm trying to think if I got.
Yeah, that's definitely it.
Yeah, that's it.
How's it going?
I mean, last year's Super Bowl Saturday night, way more embarrassing.
We've already talked about it.
Yeah. Check out pretty much every mailbag in the past if you need that story.
Devo, do you have
you haven't heard that one? Still bother.
Do you have a thought on your most embarrassing?
Yeah, I'm curious about this.
Work related moment?
No, I mean, I've been around you guys in person last year's Super Bowl, and then I met you guys in person for the first time at the time that Breach locked himself out, but I was, I think, just working late. So I didn't.
Brinson, were you embarrassed when you cut your head open and had to get stitches because you fell off a scooter?
That's right.
Seems like I got a lot of these. Within the last 3 years.
You were late for that one.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. Honestly, that was more relieving than anything else. Like I wasn't, like that I didn't like bust my teeth open or anything.
Or get a concussion or like slice your head open completely.
May have had a concussion.
Fingers crossed for
may have lied to the doctor about it.
Not embarrassing, but in terms, it was definitely memorable. I wish you were there for this one, Debo, where me, Brinson, and Breach were out till 4 a.m. In Atlanta playing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Play. What's that game?
Bocce.
Yeah.
It could have gotten him. In theory, I suppose if you.
That was fine. Like we were harmless. It was just sort of. Yeah. What are we doing?
I'll say fingers crossed for future gatherings in Los Angeles and potentially Las Vegas next year. I think Cleveland's probably out of the mix. We won't be seeing each other in Cleveland in April, but next year.
Maybe we'll be in Vegas draft has a high percentage chance for humiliation. I mean, Debo, did you say anything? You don't really have anything.
I mean, we covered.
What's your most embarrassing moment in life?
You got to give me more time on that. I don't know.
I'm trying to think what mine is.
My pants ripped in kindergarten when I went up to the front of the class.
That's mortifying.
Yeah, but like, how many people from that classroom would like still think about that? I mean, like that.
I peed my pants in third grade because my teacher was so mean that I didn't want to get up and I just had to hold it. And then some girl told on me and I had to make up a stupid lie. Like, I literally said I fell in the mud puddle at the bus stop. And she's like, come on, dummy.
Do you remember that girl's name?
I do believe it was Missy DeVilleshower who told on me.
Oh my God. You can't say it on the podcast. So, now people want to Google her.
I think that like, I mean, a lot of those moments, I think obviously kindergarten through like.
But the thing is, if you think
eighth
back
grade is like full of 42 embarrassing moments per day. Yeah. But if you look back on that, you're like, well, I mean, whatever. Like that's.
Oh, I don't, I like, if I had to pee now, I would just pee in my pants. Like, I don't care. Like
I would say, every date I've ever been on.
Yeah, there you go. The girl stick tips didn't call you back or whatever. That's
I think I've shared that I passed out on a date before because she was talking about some medical stuff and I didn't fly with me.
You got like it was like gross.
It wasn't even like, bad. Like what she was describing wasn't bad.
But this is an incredible story.
Wait, passed out like you from boredom, like you get tired and fell asleep, or you passed out like you passed out.
You were grossed out, like getting a needle,
like fainting,
a blood drawn.
Oh, you fainted.
Yeah,
that's, were you sitting down at least?
Are you sure you weren't drugged?
That's not uncommon. So that happened like in health class growing up, like fifth grade, eighth grade, ninth grade. Then I was good for about 10 years.
Huh.
And that was.
So were you sitting down when you passed out on the date?
Yeah.
Oh, so it was like an eighth grade date.
No, this was 3 years ago.
Oh,
I'm guessing there was no second date.
Wait, don't spoil it. Wait, I want to ask a question. So you passed out. How long were you passed out?
I don't think long, but I could kind of
10 seconds or 2 minutes.
Yeah, I think closer to 10 seconds. I was like, I could feel it kind of coming. I was like, hey, politely, could you stop describing the story you're telling me right now? I'm not feeling so great.
And what was her name?
No. So you passed out. Did she freak out or she just leaves? What does she do?
She was understanding in the moment. She was like, oh my God, no, you're fine. And I was like, oh, you've handled this really well. And then, ghost town after that.
From her or from you? Who ghosted who?
Sounds like Debo's saying she ghosted him.
Yeah.
What was she talking about?
Can you talk
about it without passing out?
Yeah, I'm good now. I'm good at these days. It's influenced by wine. It's called vasovagal, which is like a syndrome. And people believe that's why Patrick Mahomes, they don't think he actually had a concussion in that game against the Browns. They think it was the hint, like something more mental. So that's vasovagal is what it's called.
And that made you pass?
Dr. Debo in the house.
And I told another date in the future about that.
You're saying
that.
Your situation was vasovagal.
Yes, but people, like, I hadn't heard it much, like, ever mentioned. And then, like,
okay,
like
can you describe without telling us exactly what it was, a general. I mean,
what
you can
was
even
she
maybe
saying
like,
that?
What was she? Yeah, what was she talking about that caused?
I thought
you,
she was talking about vasovagal. I was like, oh, okay, that's
because this is a first date, so I'm assuming it's not something
like, you know, somebody's getting their head chopped off or something.
I really don't remember. Like in I
you
know
don't remember
in ninth grade. It was something about like real innocent about like kidney stones. One time was about giving birth.
Okay. I think I misunderstood. So this, like, somebody in ninth grade, like, talked about kidney stones and you passed out.
Yeah. It's like, you know, people pass out when they get shots or something.
Right. And
right?
I had
it's vasovagal syncope. Vasovagal syncope occurs when you faint because your body overreacts to certain triggers, such as the sight of blood or extreme emotional distress. It may also be called neurocardiogenic syncope. The vasovagal syncope trigger causes your heart rate and blood pressure to drop suddenly.
Yikes. Behind the curtains right now, like in my head right now, I'm thinking about it too much.
All right, stop thinking about it. So let me ask you this, Breach and Brent.
It's not embarrassing. That's scary.
No, but like right now, my body, like my legs are getting cold.
Yeah.
I know too.
Have you,
Is that like when you see somebody puke and you puke?
I think stop it's the same.
What if Debo passes out on the podcast?
That's great television. That's the same, I think, thought process.
Breach is like, hold on a second. Let me jab a needle in my arm.
Fake blood coming out here on one of the podcasts and people just
pass
out.
My broken leg.
Breach or Brinson, have you guys ever fainted?
No.
What'd you say, Breach?
I have not.
I have not fainted either. Like, I don't know.
I've blacked out.
The thought of fainting is weird to me. Like,
right? It's hard to sort of.
You okay, Diva?
Yeah.
Take your headphones off.
Hey, drink some more water, buddy.
Yeah. Lay down while you do the podcast.
Take a cold shower.
We gotta stop talking about this.
I know. All right. Well, that was actually, that's not
I've never,
that's,
I'm knock on wood.
Lightning podcast.
Knock on wood. I've never broken a bone.
I've broken a bone. We've talked about this.
You've gotten stitches.
I have gotten stitches. Oh, that's the first stitches I've ever gotten.
Was off a scooter.
Imagine the life you have to lead to have never broken a bone or never gotten stitches till you're in your mid 30s.
I mean, surprisingly, like, you wouldn't think of me as that type of person.
I think of you very much as Judge Smales, having done nothing.
No, I'm saying like you would. No, like it's. I mean, the reason I haven't broken bones is not because I'm being like carried around on like a plush. You know,
you're like C-3PO in Return of the Jedi, where the Ewoks think you're the king.
Right. Like that's no, but I'm risk averse. That's what I'm saying. Like you wouldn't think of me as like avoiding risk.
You're not risk averse. We saw you all the Super Bowl.
Well, that was alcohol induced. I mean, like that's.
All right. What else?
Wilson's got to go. That's it. That's the podcast. Yeah. Wilson's got to go. I got to go watch. I got to go sweat out a Matthew Fitzpatrick first round leader situation.
I've got to go buy a Top Shot.
I got to pass out.
Breach is going to go dig through my account to try to figure out how much I'm in. I'll tell you this. No, there's a site where you can look up other people's. You can look up anybody's thing. And I will tell you that our pal, Mr. K, is not short on account value when it comes to his.
Oh, I wish you both the best of luck.
Ooh, mine shot up. Let's go to the moon. See you guys later.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.